It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond. Glad to have you. A very special edition. And I had to say that because of Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
What's going on, Dave?
This actually is a special edition.
Yeah. We got two huge things happened today in
the
world of Pirate Land.
We did, and we actually have Bubba, the Love Sponge, the original Love Sponge, Rose Bomb. What's up, man?
I don't know about all that, but good evening, guys.
I've been waiting all day to say that, so that's my. I've worked all day on that line. All right, and next up, some people call him Terry, some people call him Bunk. Terry Gallagher, what's up, man?
I am here in Georgia, and I am doing my happy dance.
Well, is it because you celebrate another birthday or happy belated birthday? Well, I told you a couple of days ago when it was your birthday, but on the podcast, I will say happy birthday. That doesn't qualify that you've had another birthday. It just means a few days ago you had a birthday. So
right. Well, I had a birthday week. I just decided I'd make it a week.
And okay.
It was a good one. We enjoyed it.
Well, guess what? You got the cherry on top, my friend. And if you're wondering why, we've got many reasons we can have Terry on. One, because we like him, so he's part of the Sports Objective family. So it could be just because we want to have Terry on. But this time, we have several reasons we want to have you on. First, the birthday wish, we got that out of the way. But then, Kyle, I'm gonna give you the floor because you're the one that brought it to our attention.
Yes, it appears that our delightful, wonderful, excellent Chancellor, Cecil Staton, will be resigning. We're recording this on Sunday night, and word is from many different sources, including the, what is the paper that's reporting it? The
Carolina Journal.
Carolina Journal is reporting that Staton is going to resign effective tomorrow, and I guess it'll go into effect at the end of May.
May 31st, I believe.
Yeah, 31st, yeah. So, looks like Staten's out of here. Happy days, finally. Finally, the last turd in the toilet that wouldn't go down is finally going to be flushed.
Well, if you look at the situation, and I'm gonna get your both Bubba and Terry's thoughts. When you look at the situation, it had to be that the CEO, during tough times or rough times, if things are not right, they've got to go. He was hired under terrible conditions, reasons, or whatever, a political favor, whatever you want to call it. It's been a complete disaster. In fact, July will make 3 years that he would be here, so not quite 3 years as a chancellor. And it's just been from one thing to another. And I'm going to save that. We'll talk about that. Let's go now to Bubba. What were your thoughts?
Well, I think that I think it's for the best. I think it's something that was just a matter of time before it happened, and I'm just looking forward to just moving on with things.
I'm just upset because I should have taken a bet. There was a person in Pirate Nation that bet me that they thought he would make it past the summer. One of my really close friends is an ECU graduate, and I was just thinking about that. He didn't believe me that. I said the springtime that Cecil will be gone, and I'm right. And now I just realized that I'm out of like $100. So anyway, let's go now to last, but certainly not. We're going to save the best for last. Terry Gallagher, what do you think?
Oh, my goodness. I just hope it's true for one thing. And, I'm excited, skeptical, not to the point of not expecting it, but that was my birthday wish. I'll just go ahead and say it.
And you got it.
And I think it's there. So I am very, very excited about the future for East Carolina. And the real healing can begin now. So I just can't say enough about how happy I am. So
I can feel it in your – usually you're you've – ever since we met you, I think we've turned your ship around. You've been very, very, very happy lately. I'm happy to hear it in your voice, and it's even over the moon like now. It sounds like
you hear that? Listen. You ready? You ready? Here we go.
Hey, the dude brings sound effects. We got to give Carry On more, man.
That was my fire cannon firing.
I don't know what that was. I thought you were shooting a pistol or something.
That was I'm out in my backyard firing off my fire cannon.
Okay.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah, sure. One more time.
Here we go.
Well, I want to bring Kyle back in because let's talk about this. Let's give a – I'm putting you guys on the spot, so I'm good at that. But let's – I want to bring Kyle in because you and I had the same reaction or similar the day that Cecil was hired in July of 2016. Yeah. Both of us – it's kind of funny that both of us that day Googled Cecil Staton, and it's been downhill ever since. And let's just kind of talk about the mishaps over the last few years quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but I noticed that – I Googled Cecil Staton. I get about Beth Merkelson. I remember that was like, oh my, one of those first, oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, you wonder how he got the job. You know, the fact that vetting process, he should have never got the job to begin with. You know, he was the interim chancellor of all dots to state. And how he goes from that job to getting a raise and becoming the chancellor at East Carolina, a major, you know, Division I university with enrollment around 30,000. It's beyond me. Should have never got the job. It was a political appointment, and he wasn't qualified. His background, you know, in politics, he's a crooked politician, in my opinion. And then you know, after that, was the ban scandal, with the ban taking a knee and initially stating support.
Right.
Then he comes back and changes his stance, and he knew about it from the beginning. You know, he wanted to act no surprise. He knew it was coming. So that was the first lie he told. And then, of course, the chancellor's house and all that crap.
Well, and don't forget, before the chancellor's house, we had that wonderful extension to your favorite athletic director.
Oh, yeah, the Confer. Yeah. The extension to Jeff Confer. And, you know, just nothing went right. It was the worst time in the history of East Carolina. With Staton as chancellor, Confer as AD, and then Montgomery as head coach, it was just terrible. And they went down one at a time, with Confer being the first to go, Montgomery being next, and now Staton gone, it looks like. It looks like the resignation, it looks like it's going to come. I didn't read the article, to be honest. I don't know if it talked about
it. I thought you read Carolina Journal
for
the articles.
Every day while I'm listening to Rush
Limbaugh.
For
the articles, yeah.
Yeah, I read it for the articles while I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Okay.
I lost my train of thought is what I did there, Dave. Thanks.
You're blaming me.
Just left the station.
Yeah, exactly. But no, nothing went right under him while he was here. It was just one disaster after another. It, just his personality, man. Every time I couldn't stand to look at him and hear him talk, I'd get nauseous. I really would. I couldn't stand the man, just like with Comper. I mean, there's just certain people that are not pirates and don't fit in here and don't fit in with most people, and he's one of them. He's an elitist. He doesn't understand Division I athletics. I noticed Mike Houston sure does call us East Carolina a lot. It'll be interesting to see if we can be East Carolina again instead of just ECU. That's, you know, one small example. I think Harry Smith, you know, kind of putting some pressure on him. I think that's fantastic. There are some people who want to vilify Harry. I think he's a hero. You had people like John Bream that kept the pressure on. And so it's good that to see that it looks like finally the last piece of the puzzle is being put together, or the last turd's being flushed, or however you want to say it.
It's a good start. It's a good start because
no, it's not a start. It's an end.
Well, it's an end to an era. However, we still have the thing that I'm not happy about, and I will say this: there's not a single person. Let me just say this: there's not a single person on the board that takes a shower after work, middle class. If you want to be able to reach real pirates, people that or the everyday people, then why won't you put people on? There's a lot of people that are successful. They don't have to have a PhD. They don't have to have, and no offense, because we've got a one of my good friends is a PhD, and my sister's going to be a PhD at the end of the year. But I'm just saying there's a lot of great people out there that are successful that would make great trustees. And unfortunately, once again, the only people they trust are people that, I guess, can give, you know, lots of money or whatever.
And that's fine. And that's fine if there are people, if they are people who are large donors. It just needs to be the right people. It needs to be people that, that can be trusted. Somebody like, you know, like John Bream, for example, who would want nothing but what was best for the university.
Yeah.
There's tons of, you know, maybe somebody like Troy.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of good people. I would not have a problem with either one of them on there.
From what I understand, there's going to be three new people kind of appointed to the board or recommended to the board. That's the word coming from Harry Smith. So that's good. And Shanahan's going to be done in June. So the board's at least going to be
different, right?
Exactly. And it's going to be a different, you know, I got a feeling, just like with the chancellor, excuse me, just like with the athletic director, and just like with Mike Houston, you would think this time around things are going to be completely different. It'll be interesting to see who the next chancellor is. I don't think we need to rush into that. I think unless there's somebody in mind already, I almost hope there isn't. We need to get the right person in here.
Yeah.
Somebody that's going to identify with this region and understand what East Carolina is as a university and gets it.
And Bub, I want to bring you in because with the situation we have right now, if you look at it, we've had people that were in the big positions in the university who didn't get what it means to be a Pirate. I think Mike Houston, for example, as our head football coach, is exactly what we need for someone who is not a purple and gold person as far as he didn't go to school at East Carolina, but he knows what the culture is. You look at John Gilbert doing a great job. We'll give him another plug because they get what it means to be a Pirate. And I'll tell you guys this, and we'll talk about Cecil more, but I just want to bring this next topic up. We're trying to keep the show to an hour. I could talk about 2 or 3 hours about Cecil. So the next topic I want to talk about, and Terry, I want to bring you in as well, and Kyle, we'll start with Bubba. I was really upset, guys, when after Mike Houston did his press conference kickoff for the spring football season, and he impromptu, nobody knew that he was going to do it. It was his idea. And he takes us on a walking tour of the facilities. And I was appalled. I was upset. I haven't been in that area since the Skip Holtz 2006. It's the last time that I've seen our facilities. It was absolutely appalling. I found the locker room looks fantastic. The players' lounge looks fantastic. But we have got to – this is exactly what I'm talking about when I mentioned the master plan. You've heard it a lot if you listen to this podcast. But you got to have a plan. Not having a plan is a plan. It's just not a good one. And you can tell that our former administration did not have a plan.
Yeah, it's just to hear that the 2008 and 2009 Liberty Bowl trophies, Conference USA Championship trophies, I should say, where we went to the Liberty Bowl those seasons, to hear that those were in some type of storage area, closet, what have you.
Box.
It's pretty sickening, just that those weren't out in the Hall of Fame area or displayed somewhere is just ridiculous in my opinion. And to hear Troy D talked about Greg Hudson coming back this fall, and he walked into the Hall of Fame area and understandably expected to see them there, and was asking questions, where were they, and where are those trophies, and then found out that they were where they were in the storage area closet.
It's ridiculous, and not only that, you look at the plain white walls that look like the inside of an old schoolhouse.
A prison.
I mean, yeah, it's and that's something that, you know, those are things that Houston, you know, is getting corrected, that Gilbert is giving the money to, you know, we need a football building. But at least what they're doing is they're dressing up Ward. And he said by the time, you know, everybody comes back in August, it's going to look like a brand new place throughout the whole facility. It's going to be graphics on all the walls and things like that. I mean, you know, it's that's great. So you do what you can do. And if you can't go build a brand new building right now, then you make what you have look good. And that kind of stuff's important. And, you know, talking about our history, you know, displaying trophies, you know, talking about putting up, he's going to put up a graphics of our receivers and our receiving history, and Justin Hardy and Zay Jones and some of the All-Americans and NFL players we have on the walls, and some of the big wins in Pirate history. And that's what now you're going to see when you walk through Ward when it's all done by the end of August. So it's good he has a vision, and it just boggles my mind, you know, why this stuff wasn't done already. I don't understand it. I think it goes to show the lack of vision by the last administration and the last staff.
I'll tell you what it amounts to. What it amounts to is their vision was to get on to the next job. And they're resume builders. So you look at John Gilbert and Mike Houston, they get that the way, if you want to be a resume builder, then you've got to have something on the resume. Go ahead, Bubba.
What you're saying, I didn't know if you were going to take it to that extent. And what I mean by that is that if they want to get on to the next job, then go about things the way this bunch is going about things, because the best way to quote get on to the next job is by doing the best job at your current job.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's how if you want to be at an SEC school, then you better damn sure do everything you can at where you're at now to get there. And look, in my opinion, Mike Houston's here for 10 years and wins conference championships every year. In my opinion, Mike Houston's an SEC coach and will be an SEC coach eventually. And we're going to have him probably for a relatively short time. That's good. That's good. We just, you know, that means he's going to win a lot of games here. He's a builder. He knows what he's doing. He's going to build a program here that's going to be a winner, that can be, you know, it's going to be a sustainable winning program. And, it may take a couple years. You know, some people think this coming season that we may end up winning 7-8 games, and some people, you know, think we're going to win 3 games again. I don't think it's that important what our win-loss total is this coming season. It's laying the foundation for what will be. And, but back to what you were talking about, David, the facilities. It's a shame to think what they look like. And it's good that they're getting fixed, with the graphics and things like that. And, we added stuff to the juice bar. You saw that there was a little cooler there with food and things. And we're getting a nutritionist, or however you say it, in there.
Nutritionist, you're right, the first time.
Yeah, and to make sure the guys are eating right and getting the proper nutrition. And, you know, so that's a good thing, and headed in the right direction.
And Dave, we should plug, if you haven't already seen the videos, folks, and we have those on our YouTube channel. That's what Dave was able to during that tour and get some footage. And not only do we have footage of what the facilities look like now, but we also have Mike Houston detailing his vision for those facilities and talking about some of those things that Kyle was mentioning a little bit earlier as far as what it'll look like by the summertime.
2 points I want to make too, guys, is that if you think that Mike Houston is not a smart man, that shows you right there that he gets it and Gilbert gets it, that you've got to show people results, right? You got to say, this is where we are. and this is where we got to be. And that was, to me, very clever on Houston's part to show people we've got to have more money coming in. We've got to have it where, you know, that way we can do that. Plus, we'll wait. We're still waiting on the TV contract. And I want to make another point, too, and then I'm going to pitch it back to you guys. I told Kyle on Friday, and I firmly believe this, after the first practice for the spring season, I told Kyle, so we'll mark it down tonight, it's St. Patrick's Day of 2019. I will tell you right now, it won't be year one, but down the road you'll see Mike Houston become the first head coach to have 2 10-win seasons or more at East Carolina. And I'll go on the record that if I'm not, you can throw a pie in my face. But I really believe that's going to happen.
Evidently,
Kyle wants to do it anyway.
If he doesn't leave after the first 10-win season.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that could happen. You could be Bill Lewis. But everybody that's left, it's not a good idea. So,
Terry, have you had a chance to see the video of the facilities?
No, I haven't. But, you know, y'all were talking about, you know, the vision about where we are and where we need to be. But one of the things that I want to always make clear is that we need to remember where we came from.
Right.
And if you look, I have a picture, as a matter of fact, of Ficklin Stadium when the light poles were on the sidelines of the stadium. They were in front of the stands, the light poles. They were
right.
Big, like telephone poles. And they would put pads around so that if you did run into the pole, you would at least have a little pad there. And the stadium, I think, you know, what, 20,000 maybe? And our dressing area, and our weight room, and our coaches' offices, and additional sports coaches' offices, and our equipment room was in Scales Fieldhouse.
Wow.
Remember where we came from to get to where we are, and it also means to, like, you know, and I understand, Kyle, you're a bit younger than me and all, and you were talking about receivers.
We need to get a picture of Terry Gallagher in there.
There was a little receiver there who, you know, held the NCAA record for 39 years. And there's never been anything about that. There used to be something in the program about that, but you know, it's something that's passed by, been passed by, and he's also been nominated for the Hall of Fame, but he hasn't been able to get in because his numbers don't compare to what today's receivers are. Well, that's because he played in the wishbone offense, and so you know, his numbers were also part of being a good blocker, and the results of our offense is what also came from his blocking. But anyway, that was just something I thought I would add. But you're right. We do have to. We've got to get away from this mentality of wanting to eat steak on a hamburger budget.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Getting hamburger steak.
You can. Look,
well, what
you can do what you want to with it, but it's still hamburger.
Yeah, absolutely.
My thing is just simply, our folks in Eastern North Carolina and Pirate Nation are some of the most generous people on the planet.
Right.
But the problem is we've had it where there's been no vision, very little vision, and if we're going to compete in American, you're going to be constantly having to be under construction, or if not, yeah. It's kind of like an old department store. You're going to be left behind. I felt like I wanted to mention that, too. I forgot. When I was walking through those facilities on Thursday, I felt like I might as well be in the Montgomery Wards.
Well, I wonder, how many members are there in the Pirate Club?
Not 6,000.
Not that many.
And you're telling me, telling me that a school that has almost 30,000 students
and 126, it's over, well over 120,000 alums too, by the way.
And we only have less than 6,000.
It's ridiculous, Terry.
People join the things like the Bulldog Club here in Georgia, the whatever they call the thing in Alabama, and even Auburn. All, you know, there's people that join those clubs that aren't even graduates.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Kyle.
I know a couple that are in the Pirate Club, like me and Bubba.
That's the way it should be, but there also should be. Let me say this, and I don't want to offend anybody, but part of the issue there is it's almost like it's a secret club.
Social club.
And if you don't donate a certain amount, you don't get. It's just, I don't want to step on toes. I just want to
say what you mean, sir.
I want things to get better, but it's hard to get through. It's hard to get things done. There's been times when there's been issues with records about what, how much, they don't keep up. There's been a disconnect there for some reason.
Our club model needs to be scrapped and restarted. Terry Holland had the right idea. It needs to answer directly to the AD.
Well, and it could be done. It's not hard to do. It's a matter of putting some priorities where they need to be and growing the numbers.
And there's another.
What are we doing to reach out to former players? What are we doing?
There is nothing. Now let me tell you this. There's one guy there that is a true lover of the past and helps former players as much as he can. That's big guy.
Matt Maloney, yeah.
And Matt is a wonderful, but he can't do it by himself. And Matt has done a tremendous job. And we had some people before him that were involved that did a good job. But there's not. We do not do a very good job connecting the past to the present, and a lot of past players do not get involved because the way it's – I mean, it's like we're not treated like we played there.
Right.
We're treated like another number – we're treated like another name that's just part of the picture. And we are the ones who created the picture. And, and everyone, not just the stars, not just the guys that play the NFL, not just the guys that have gone on and made a lot of money, but I'm the scout team players, the walk-ons. There's so many. We've had, when I played, there must have been 150 or so players on the team. So you multiply that by 50. So why aren't we, our numbers be so small when it comes to people being involved with what's going on there at East Carolina?
Well, I'll say this. Let me just say this. As far as the Pirates Club is concerned, first of all, I like Philip Wood a lot. In fact, I'll publicly disclose, I reached out to him last week, and he's always been good about reaching, getting back in touch with me. And my idea is, and I will say this to you guys too, I'll give Philip Wood and the Pirate Club a whole hour, and they can come on here. I was going to tell him that, but I'll say this publicly. He can come on here, and let's talk about ways we can – be like Madonna, reinvent yourself, because that's what it's all about, changing with the times. Kyle and I, and then Bubba has something he wants to mention. I'll let him do that. Kyle and I have talked, half a dozen times maybe, just talking on the phone about he and I are middle-class guys. something like the, and I'm not making fun of it because I like it, but we've got to do more than just the Pirate Armadas. We've got to do more than just golf tournaments. Some people don't like golf, and I'm not knocking it because I actually do. I'm just saying there's things that the working class and the middle class people that are in the Pirate Club, or people that would potentially like to be a part of the Pirate Club, and even the millennials who don't, that doesn't reach them. We've got to do a better job of reaching people. And like Kyle and I were talking about, why not have it at a restaurant or different places? You can have events that are, maybe you have a speaker, or you have where you, do you remember that, Kyle, where we were talking about that?
I think yeah, I remember. So we were talking about having a different event.
Yeah, and that's on Friday.
Yeah, more, you know, for the, it would be more appealing to the masses, you know. There's tons of different things we could do, man. I mean, just to make people feel more welcome. Look, I don't, you know, I've nobody ever, I can think of just me personally, and I'm nobody, but I can think of one time the Pirate Club has reached out to me about anything. A volleyball player contacted me a couple months ago to thank to me for being a Pirate Club member and helping pay for her scholarship. And that's the only time I can ever, you know, nobody ever reaches out to me or says crap. You get a letter in the mail. So I just, there's so many things that could be done that would make the Pirate Club grow. And I don't feel that we're trying to grow.
Let me say one thing real quick. I have reached out and tried to tell them I would be happy to work free. And
wait a minute. Free? You're not going to take a salary? Free?
Look, just to help Nick, former players, what's going on now, and to try and get former players more involved, and to involve the present with the past. I don't care. I want to help East Carolina football and East Carolina sports, East Carolina University, whatever, grow. And I've tried and I've expressed my, opinion about it. And I know I live in Georgia and maybe I won't be here forever, but just because I live in Georgia don't mean I can't be, helpful. In a way, because of the way that internet and computers are now, but I'd be more than happy to try to help them with former or any situation. But I feel my expertise would be with former players.
Bubba, didn't you have something you wanted to say? Or can't give too much information, but to hint at about that.
Yeah, as far as reaching out to the former players and developing those relationships or rekindling those relationships, if you will, I think that's something that's coming very shortly. There's certainly something in the works there, and that will be officially announced probably in the next week or few.
Yeah, we can say that. Yeah, we can definitely say that.
We'll tell you more off the air, Terry.
So can I retract my previous statement?
No, don't retract the telehealth.
No, I think you can work.
It's a familiar face to Pirate Nation.
And you can work with that person. We'll just say that. That's all we can say right now. I know we're bad. We're a tease, but that's all we can
say
at the moment.
If you can keep your mouth shut. If not, we'll have to kill you.
I don't want that to happen. Wait a minute now. Terry's one of our good friends. No, we don't want to kill Terry.
This whole podcast, we've been talking about big picture stuff. By God, there was something big that happened today, a rare event.
Yeah.
We haven't even mentioned it. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so this is what's funny is listening to the game today, trying to be slick and listen to the game, and I'm working, and I was going through my mind, I was like, wow, something? I'm trying to rack my brain. I don't think that we've had no hitters, but I don't think we've ever had a perfect game. And then at the end of the game, when Corey said that, I was like, that's why I can't remember one, because we've never had one.
Yeah.
A perfect game, that was great. Wasn't it, Bubba?
Yeah, like you said, we'd had 10 no-hitters prior to today, so that was the 11th no hitter in Pirate baseball history, but the first perfect game and just the 28th perfect game in NCAA baseball history, going back to I think it was 1959 or something.
Are
that
you
was
serious?
That
oh
was,
my god,
that was per
that. Wow.
per Malcolm Gray. Malcolm tweeted
wow.
that out here in the last
wow.
couple hours. So
I know
yeah.
in the major leagues, was it happened twice?
Well, oh no, it's happened more than twice. It's but yeah, and it's happened very infrequently in the major leagues. According to Steven Igo, in the major leagues, it's happened 23 times.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, between those two, 51 times. So I guess
wow,
it's 52 now. But
28 times in NCAA history, first time in East Carolina history. When was the last one thrown in college baseball?
The last perfect game was last February. It was by a pitcher from Washington. I don't recall his name, but it was obviously yeah. somebody that we faced last year because we played them in a weekend series.
Wow. So that'll be I'm assuming that you'll see that on, if not tonight, tomorrow morning. That's going to be on SportsCenter and everywhere else.
You hear my dog barking.
He's so excited.
She heard Bubba say that, and she came running in here and just started. She's going, oh, my God, he threw a perfect game.
So this is what happens when you retire. You talk to your dogs.
And by the way, on top of throwing a perfect game, we swept Maryland, which, by the way, I called that.
And our son graduated from there and is in grad school there, but that's okay. We can beat them all. Just because my money went there don't mean my heart's there.
Well, you know, I said, on the air that we were going to go slap the crap out of Maryland like a bunch of boys from Eastern North Carolina should do when they go to Maryland. So, and that's what we did. We swept the twerps. So,
yeah, 9-0, 2-1, and 3-0. So, yeah, how about the pitching this weekend? In addition to Cooch Maynor, yeah, one run on 9 hits for the series, and it's a hitter's ballpark. It's only 380 to center field, so it's very much a hitter's ballpark. So it's remarkable. And Maryland is a pretty good hitting team from everything
that
Corey said.
Was that original team last year?
Not last year, but.
It was
2014 and 15 or 15 and 16. But yeah, they went to back to back super regionals.
Okay. I feel good about. Well, the one thing I want to mention too is that I know that a lot of people have been in the panic room, and the good thing is now when you have
that was
Pirate
baseball this weekend.
Yeah, when you look at this week, I mean, you look at the loss to Duke was not that's not a bad loss.
Duke was ranked in at least some of the polls.
Yeah, and I think that the one thing people forget is that Duke baseball was terrible, and if it's your granddad or granddad's Duke baseball back at that era, then you could go, oh, my God, we lost to Duke. But when you look at the job Chris Pollard's done at Duke, and he's built a program there and turned that program, I mean, they were the bad news bears. What was it, Bubba, 50-some years they hadn't been to a regional?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable. And so when you take it, I was upset about the loss, but then I started thinking about the fact that, hey, you got Chris Pollard. He's got a great program. That's not a bad loss. And they were ranked when we lost to them. They've got a good team. And we've got a chance to come back and play Maryland and do exactly what I was hoping they would do. Is not only did they sweep them, they were dominating. And sometimes – it takes – Terry, you can comment on this too, and Bubba, I know you've played. Sometimes a team develops at different times. The chemistry may not be there because of what Kyle and I were afraid of. Is the one thing I was worried about the most about this team was injuries. And they really haven't had the guys all together that many games. Did Cliff Godwin acknowledge that, a week ago or more?
Yeah.
That they've a lot of games they're not together.
Well, every team has to – establish its own identity. It don't matter what sport, it don't matter what level, but every year you go through the changes, and then you've got to establish your own identity. And I'm not I never have coached baseball, but I've watched a lot, I'm around it a lot, and I do understand the main thing with baseball is to win two out of three.
Right.
So on your weekends, you want to win two out of three. And during the week, these weekday single games are a lot of times, and fans, yes, we want it. We want to win every game, and so does the team. But those weekday games are where you find out some things that will help you in those series. So
right.
I think sometimes people don't see it, fans don't see it, but coaches are sometimes working on some things that maybe, you know, won't show up until later in the season. So, you know, I would never worry about a single game loss. Where I would get worried is when we start
getting swept.
There you go. So
or we lose two out of three or get swept.
It's just a pride thing. It's
a growing. We got to grow.
Anytime you're taking on an in-state ACC school,
right.
you want to beat them.
There you go. But at the same time, what we want to do is peak at the end of the season. And
right.
So you don't want to peak during the middle of the year, then because no team in any sport at any level can sustain a certain way of playing for an endless amount of time. You know, that magic isn't going to last. You have to work and coaches. This is where coaching matters.
Matters.
Yes, it does.
Are you sure?
It's the
previous administration, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Coaching doesn't matter.
Well, that's over with.
Okay. All right.
So what do you? So
it's why I used to teach. It's history.
What do you do with Coach Matter at this point? He was in the bullpen. He was a midweek starter. He goes and throws a one hitter almost as a no-no at Mississippi State. Or excuse me, at Ole Miss. He almost has a no hitter at Ole Miss, and you know, throws a one hitter. So then you move him to the weekend. He starts on Sunday, and he throws a perfect game. Do you dare move him to Friday night and make him your ace?
I'd put him back in the.
Well, it's a matter of the whole picture and the whole rotations, and so again, we don't always know exactly what's going on internally. So if it's working, that's what we want to see. Is we want to see the result, and I want to see him when we start, you know, playing for the regional and super regional and go to the World Series.
And don't you
coming off 5 days rest? Obviously, he came in against Duke after Gavin Williams had a poor start. Gavin had been very solid this year, but he got blistered by the Blue Devils, and you know, he left some balls up and they were over the heart of the plate, and good teams are going to hit those, and Duke did. But you had Cooch Maynard come in that night, and, yeah, he had three walks, but he had six Ks and went 5 2/3 and allowed just one hit there. And that's the thing, guys. It wasn't just like he had that performance today. He had that 5 2/3, one hit outing against Duke in relief. And then the start the previous week at Ole Miss on Wednesday, he went 8 2/3 and was a strike away from a no hitter that day. So in 23 1/3 innings, I think it is, and 23 1/3, he's allowed two hits.
So Coach Rosenbaum, do you move him to Fridays?
At this point, I'd be surprised if you see him. I think he'll probably be in the Sunday role, he may.
Don't you want your best pitcher on Friday night?
There are different theories on that. A lot of times teams will approach it that way, but then at the same time, if you have them on Sundays, that kind of it really helps things there, because like today, I mean, when you have a guy that may even be better than your, quote, number three going against somebody that's number three or below for the other team, then that bodes well. So there's certainly different schools of thought on it, but it'll be interesting to see which direction we go. But I'd be a little surprised if he's bumped up to the Friday role for UCF this weekend.
Here's the answer.
But the biggest thing we need at this point, you see, Tyler Smith had his best start of the year, probably going what about six innings and allowing one run on three hits or so. So with hopefully Tyler will continue to pitch well. And then Jake Agnos has really been pitching well. We just need to Gavin to pitch the way he had prior to last Tuesday. And then also Trey Benton to pitch like we know he can pitch.
I think the answer to your question, Kyle, I think Cliff Godwin, when he told Corey Glory today, he said, "I really, really, really like this matchup." And so I think it's, if you look at the matchups, and I would say this sounds like a political or coach speak, it's not. I simply think if you look at the matchups, if it's favorable and you think that, hey, Cooch Maynor, this is his day, put Cooch Maynor in. Not that you're going to be moving them all around the place. I'm just saying that there's some pitchers that pitch better for certain days. And I just feel like that the good news is with our staff for pitching, it's a lot deeper where we can move things around. Well, sometimes you just have to go with your best option. Maybe it may not always be your best option, if that makes sense.
Give you something that's similar in putting together with track, coaching track. When you put together relay teams, a lot of times your fastest guy doesn't always run the last leg of a relay.
And you want to start him out.
What I would do is put him on the second leg. And what you want to do is make sure that you're at a certain point. You want to be ahead so that helps the next two legs of the relay. They'll go faster. And you want your last leg to be the competitor who's not going to lose.
And so you're saying they put him on Saturday night then?
Well, it could be. Because, again, the point is to win the game. You want to win the game. So every win counts toward, again, we want to go at least 2-3 every weekend. To me, it's not a big deal about who pitches Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. It's just a matter of making sure you win. You know? So anyway, that's my two cents worth.
Something else, as far as it goes, is sometimes it's not a bad idea if it sets up right, and as far as having lefty, righty, lefty, and that's what the Pirates had this weekend with Agnos, Smith, and then Cooch Maynor.
Right. What's the what do they call it? The analytics.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to be careful. I think they would probably say the same thing. Sometimes you can overthink things, and you know, when you have a great coach and coaching staff like we do at East Carolina, and now at every sport, which is nice. This particular case of baseball, sometimes you just got to go with your gut and take chances. And this particular case, not that you're taking a chance on a great pitcher. I mean, we know that he's great. I'm just saying, when he said that he liked the matchups, then for today, then that tells you that knowing that another thing that I would say to folks is that right now he's got the hot hand, and it might be in a few weeks that Trey Benton, he might have the hot hand. He might all of a sudden. So that's why, as a great coach,
right?
If you look at Cliff, in every way, the man is making great adjustments lineup. And
know your team, know your players.
It's amazing how fast his delivery is, man. He doesn't take any time on the mound.
No, he does not.
Just pitch. I've never seen a guy. Well, I have, but it's very rare you see a guy that fast of delivery where he doesn't screw around at all.
Well, that's one of those things. Playing behind a guy like that, it's defenders love that because I mean it's easy for them to be on their toes and not get caught back on their heels because he's getting it and delivering the next pitch.
Yeah, that makes sense. The one thing I want to see if we fix, we've been leaving a lot of guys on base.
Right.
We got great bats. We just haven't been productive with the bats. A lot of hits, not much production. Certainly Friday night, we had a lot of production. And you know, I don't know if the runners left on base for the whole weekend, but hopefully that's a problem that's been fixed. We'll see as we get into conference play now this weekend. It's a big week. Got Wilmington Wednesday and then open a conference play with the Knights.
Wilmington put us out, didn't they?
Yeah, Wilmington's always good.
But they put us out last year of the regional.
They did.
With the
7-hour delay in the game.
that still hurts. That one really hurts because that was a.
We thought we were going somewhere.
Yeah. And you know, when you play Wilmington, and no disrespect, because they are a really good team. It's not like they were a bad team. It's just frustrating when you
ridiculous
have Jake Agnos
to have them as a 4 seed.
And Jake Agnos,
hey, don't,
is out of his mind.
All that matters is who wins.
Right.
So,
but a little bit about UNC Wilmington. They're 11-10 right now. They are coming off a 1-3 week. They played number 10 North Carolina down at Brooks Field in Wilmington on Wednesday. They lost that game 11-4. And then this weekend, guys, they were out in Memphis at playing the Tigers, and they lost 2 out of 3 to Memphis. They won on Friday 15-6, but then lost 10-8 and 7-4 the last 2 days. And then UCF.
They'll be ready to play Wednesday night.
Oh yeah, UCF is coming in this weekend for the American opener, and so UCF is coming off a 4-1 week. The Knights are 14-6. And they took 2 out of 3 from VCU this weekend down in Orlando, and then they swept a pair of midweek games from Yale.
In fact, folks, don't forget, I want to mention this, that we're going to try to get up with Corey Glore for tomorrow night to have our extra innings. Normally we do extra innings on Sunday, and we're going to try to do that tomorrow night. So be on the lookout for extra innings, and we'll try to get that out certainly by tomorrow night if we can. And go ahead, Bubba.
Something else I thought we should mention is the American got 4 teams into the NCAA tournament, and then also 2 into the NIT.
Who got in the NIT, Bubba? Memphis and who?
Yeah, Wichita State is they're traveling to Furman. Of course, Furman had a tremendous start of the year and obviously finished very, very well, but didn't make the big dance. I think the Paladins are something like 26-7. I may be mistaken, but early on they made some waves and headlines by knocking off Villanova and somebody else. I don't recall who, but the Shockers will be in Greenville, South Carolina, taking on the Paladins. And then also Memphis, like you said, is hosting the San Diego Toreros.
So I was wondering if Wichita was going to get in, so that's good. So 4 to the NCAA, 2 to the NIT. I asked, if you guys remember, way back in November, we had, his name's escaping me right now, guys, the color analyst for our ESPN 3 basketball games.
Nate Ross.
I asked Nate Ross, I said, you know, I didn't even ask him to make the statement that I thought we could be a 5-bid league on a regular basis. And he kind of said, I don't know about that. And we got 4 in this year. ain't too far off.
And then you had, like you said, Memphis. I fully expect
Wichita.
Them to be there, and then Wichita.
Yeah, both in the NIT and CBI field hasn't came out yet. I don't guess, but it'll be interesting to see. Sometimes people turn down the invite to the CBI. I would think Tulsa would have a chance to get in the CBI. USF. USF has a chance to get in. I guess the field hasn't came out yet. Am I right on that?
I haven't even checked, but but it's a little bit more as far as those NCAA matchups. So you have UCF, and it's funny they played VCU this weekend in baseball because they play the Rams in the 8-9 game, and the winner will get Duke, and because of course the Blue Devils will be playing the winner of that North Carolina Central North Dakota State game, I believe it is, and then.
What are the seeds for all the American teams?
I'm sorry?
What are the seeds for all the American teams?
Yeah, Houston got a 3 seed. Also, you had Temple. They're playing in the first round game where the 2-11 seeds play one another.
Okay.
And so they're playing Belmont. And then the winner gets Maryland. And then you also had Cincinnati, who went a little bit lower than a lot of people thought they should have. They're a 7 seed playing the 10th seed, Iowa. I said Houston got a 3. They're playing number 14 seed in Georgia State out in Tulsa. And then you let's see, who did I leave out?
UCF.
I already mentioned UCF. They're a 9 seed playing okay. number eight VCU.
I think Temple and Cincy both got too low. I think they both should have been higher seeds. But at least we got 4 teams in.
With UCF kind of struggled a little bit down the stretch, got blown out in the conference tournament. And then that's what I think, and it was to Memphis, but still, they had already suffered 1 20-plus point loss at Memphis, and then Memphis beat them by 24 on Friday.
Memphis is playing strong at the end of the year. It'll be interesting to see if they can make some noise in the end of the day.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them make a run. And then they have that tremendous recruiting class coming in.
Yep.
And it's something to build. One other great thing about it, guys, is that it's something to build on. And you look at, I mean, Penny Hardaway is literally, as we were talking to Peter Edmondson, you remember that, Bubba? I mean, Peter, those guys are building literally, what was it? It was a top 20 recruiting class. I mean, it was ridiculously high. And another thing we need to talk about is something I heard. Don't know if it's true, but I was told that it's looking like that a lot of the players that were on the basketball team this year, through graduation, there's a few that we are losing, but obviously the underclassmen that we're going to lose some of them too. There, it looks like we could see as many as 8. You heard me right, 8 new faces on the Pirates basketball team next year. That was another topic I was going to bring up.
Yeah, I think when you take a look at things, I mean, obviously you have guys like Jaden Gardner, Seth Ledet, who will be coming off an ACL injury, but hopefully he can come back well. And then you also have Sean Williams. Those three guys are certainly American Athletic Conference caliber players, and fully expect to see the three of them back. You have guys, you have KJ Davis and maybe a guy like Ty Foster who definitely need to be more consistent. Ty Foster showed some good things. He never really showed much of an outside shot. KJ Davis had those few games where he would knock down anywhere from like 3 to 5 three-pointers, and then he'd have a game where he'd have 4 points. But and then he also brought some things to the table in terms of rebounding and defense. But it would not surprise me to see no more than, like you're saying, those maybe 4 guys, if that, stick around.
Well, if you think about it, when you have that recruiting class that Memphis is bringing in, and you look at all the great basketball teams and programs, including UConn, it's going to get better. You look at all the – I mean, and when you look at Memphis, you better have guys that can play in American because it's a situation where Dooley's going to win. So whatever it takes to get his culture – whatever it takes to get his people in, he's going to do it. And I know Terry, it takes another
Tay Hardy. What about Tay Hardy?
I know he's your Georgia guy. I don't know. I mean, that was just speculation. That's what I've heard. So it's not like that's gospel that it's definitely going to happen. But
right.
I think you would. But when you only win 10 ball games, and I'm not saying that we should win more. I'm just saying that. I'm not knocking Dooley. I'm just saying, you got. In other words, if they'd won 18 or 20, then there would be not a lot of shuffling going around.
Right.
They're going to go JUCO route. They're going transfer route. They're going grad transfer route. Any way they can to win ball games, and that excites me. I don't know about you guys, but that makes me happy. It's not going to be the same old every single year.
Dooley didn't come back here to what, just get fired 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and when you look at things as far as a major roster overhaul like this, you had something similar take place back, I guess it was, you know, during, I guess, the Herrien to Stokes stage, or maybe it was Stokes to McCarthy, but you had a major roster overhaul like this. But the whole thing with this is, and the way it can affect you as far as the APR is concerned, so – it can't just happen without certain things being met. So hopefully some of these guys who were previously in not the best of academic standings have improved some of that. And obviously Isaac Fleming was a senior, so this doesn't apply to him. But Isaac Fleming was someone I know he made tremendous strides academically, so hopefully some of those other guys have, because I know things weren't in the best shape academically when Coach Dooley arrived.
No, and he's worked really hard. That's another thing people forget is you literally, the APR was killed when you have a situation with, Shepherd was gone. The Wilkins came in. There was like, what, 3 or 4 guys we lost?
I mean, you had Jeremy Shepherd, and you also had Raekwon Wilkins, like you said.
Yeah, there's like 3 or 4 guys that couldn't come back on the team for various reasons. So, and we'll leave it at that. But the good news is, the reason I brought that up is I'm very excited to see that when you look at Cliff Godwin, when he doesn't put any junk, you look at with obviously Mike Houston. If they're not going to, buy into his system, just like with Dooley, I think the team started to buy in. Unfortunately, I think it was too little too late for the basketball team. I think there was some that, including, I think he, and I've heard this, Isaac Fleming was somebody that didn't buy into Dooley as fast as he should have. And that might be one of the reasons why he struggled early on. And then the Sean Williams suspension and all that. I wanted to mention before we go, too, let's talk something we all love. Let's talk football. I want to get your take, guys, so far of Mike Houston, the new era. Let's start with Terry, because, Terry, you're the football player from ECU. You're down in Georgia, but what are your thoughts on Mike Houston and certainly a new era? What do you take out of we've had a few practices now. The third one will be tomorrow, actually.
Well, big thing, obviously, during the spring is you don't want to get anybody hurt. And they've got a lot of work to do as far as installing their systems, changing the philosophy of things. But I'm sure they've already, in fact, they started day one, changing the whole attitude within the program. I feel like that things will go well, and they will, it's going to be interesting to see I'm going to be out there in, spring game weekend, April 13th, for everybody to come out, support your Pirates. Everybody that talked about, well, nobody's coming to the game. Well, here's your chance. Let's come to the game.
Cost anything.
Yeah, let's get out there and let's all be Pirates and have a good time like we're supposed to and be positive and support the program.
And I promise, I've been promising, we should have something nailed down this week. I'm going to get it nailed down one way or another. And you guys probably guess where it is, but we need to talk off the air about a time. Spring game is at 1:30. It's probably going to be late afternoon. And we'll have we'll work on that. We're working on the final details on that on a after party, spring game after party. And if you want to meet Terry Gallagher and many other former Pirate players are working on that, right, Terry, right now?
Yes, sir, and getting good response. The former players that I've talked to are all, real happy with what's going on, and I'm sure if the news that we were talking about earlier tonight is true, then listen, you got my dogs excited. You got everybody excited. Everything's good, and so this will be a good opportunity to get out and show you true colors, Pirates, purple and gold.
What do you think, Kyle? What were your thoughts early on with Coach Houston in the spring?
So far, so good. I mean, 2 practices. I love, all the time Montgomery was here, I can't remember 1 bad practice. So the first practice we had, Houston was pissed.
We were undefeated in practice.
Undefeated, yeah. Houston was pissed the first practice. I loved it. Came out Saturday morning, was a lot more happy with the effort the guys gave and the way they were doing things the right way. Talks about breaking bad habits and things of that nature. And I think Mike Houston, look, we know what we got with Donnie Kay and Steve Shankweiler. Mike Houston's been a winner of where he's been. He's going to get it done here. He's the right man for the job. And be interesting to see how things look tomorrow. Tomorrow we got it's a big day of practice. We're talking about some kind of a drill, inside drill, something that's going to be going on tomorrow.
The thud drill.
You mean there's contact going on?
Yes, there is. He's teaching them how to make contact without hurting each other. That's what's working on right now.
There's some very basic fundamentals, and that is you got to be able to block, you got to be able to tackle,
right,
and you got to be able to hold on to the football.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I'm not a betting man, but I can promise you there's one thing you'll never hear Kyle say about Mike Houston. You know what it is?
Baby.
No.
That's it.
No, you won't hear him say that.
Go look at your trophies there, Ontario.
No, he's going to say, he won't say, you got to fire him tonight.
No.
You won't hear him say that.
No.
Those days are over with. So I'm actually, I think Kyle's health is going to be way better under the Mike Houston era, and maybe most of us too. But I don't, unfortunately, the days of Cecil, are you listening? And you got to find out.
People are going to be very disappointed with my calls. That's what they think. Because everybody, there's a lot of people who discovered me during this administration on Pirate Radio who thinks I'm a Raven.
I've heard you since you were a teenager. Yeah, you're
exactly.
Way different.
Mild mannered.
Now, never mild mannered. But
very well spoken. And
no, don't forget, good looking for a fat guy.
Yeah.
No, the difference between Kyle and you get take a caller like Captain Bill, people want to put the two of them together. It's totally different. Captain Bill, if we didn't get 50 first downs, then he's going to be upset even if we won the game. Kyle is only going to be upset when we have a coach who cannot coach. So, and we have an athletic director that's incompetent and a chancellor that's crooked. So, those comments were, I remember those very well. But when you have, when things are going well, you're not going to hear Kyle be the quote-unquote critic and ugly about, you know, situation unless things are not right. That's what
there were times, if people go back, and it's not about me, but there were times where people would be hard on Ruffin, and I would call in to the fifth quarter call-in show and defend him. I remember when we lost to BYU, I remember
The 20th, yeah.
Several people on the air, people there in studio, just being so upset that we blew that game to BYU. And I was like, guys, you know, we're playing with backup quarterbacks. It's on the road at BYU. We were lucky to be in that game.
Correct.
So, anyway.
Well, before we go,
I want to hear Bubba get passionate.
You want to hear him say baby, do you?
I know.
Baby. For people that don't know the inside joke, we always give Kyle a hard time because he says baby, not like just baby. He says, baby, give me a drink.
they're mad because I call my wife baby. They always give me crap about me calling my wife baby. And I don't know why. I don't get it. I don't get the joke. But him and Bubba, Dave and Bubba.
It's not the what. It's the how.
It's how you say it.
I guess I bellow baby at her baby. You know, my wife does things for me. She brings me things. She's a good wife, like a wife should be. You know, so I say baby, and she comes running. I mean, you know. I don't know how you guys got it, but that's how I got it.
Terry, do you call your wife baby?
I have called her that from time to time. Yes, I have.
Okay. All right. We'll leave that alone. Bubba, what about you?
Which question?
What do you call your wife?
I call her Stacey. Baby.
So you don't say baby.
Maybe occasionally.
Whatever she wants me to call her, that's what I call her.
Yeah.
See, of the four of us, Terry's the most educated because he has the right answer, at least when it comes to how we address our wife. Whatever she wants me to call her. Did you notice that he's been, how many years have y'all been married since 1981?
37 years and still going. So.
All right, so I've got a number. Bubba and I and Kyle. Kyle's the closest to you, but we all still have a number of years to catch up.
For my age,
in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Kyle got. Did you get married when you were 16, Kyle?
No, but she won't far from it. I was. she was barely. She was 18, and I was 20 or 21.
You sound like Jerry Lee Lewis. I married her. She was 13.
Well, not that bad. Not that bad.
And she wasn't your cousin.
And she was not my cousin. Nor she was
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
Great movie, Great Balls of Fire, by the way.
I need to, you know what? I love Dennis Quaid, and I am a huge Jerry Lee Lewis. I need to make a point to watch that movie.
I'm shocked you've never seen that movie. That's a great movie.
And you know I love that kind of stuff, so, and I love Jerry Lee Lewis, so it doesn't make any sense. So
I can remember your sister and my sister watching that movie together, so that is shocking to me that you never saw Great Balls of Fire.
I haven't seen it yet.
And by the way, that comment just blew some people's minds. What do you mean your sister and his sister?
Yeah, that's Kyle and I know each other from way back. And if you haven't listened to the podcast and this is the first time, we actually reunited and it feels so good, as you said before, Kyle. And and there are no accidents. You know, we knew you were like 8 and I was 16. And then I went off to college. And then that's why I didn't see. And then you moved to Lenoir County. You did? You've been waiting all these years?
All these years, yeah. No, yeah, and no. So we knew each other when we were kids. Our sisters were best friends, and he was years older than me. And when David decided to start a podcast, he reached out to me because he enjoyed my calls on Pirate Radio, and voila, the rest is history. And first time we talked on the phone to each other, we were like, wait a minute, we know each other.
You said, and then, you know, he said, Amy Richmond is your sister?
Not quite
a baby, but he got so excited.
Yeah.
So, and I just like outed my sister, but I love you, Amy. so anyway, she's a great pirate. In fact, she's going to have not only her undergrad, she has her undergrad, master's, and soon to be PhD from East Carolina. So I'm very proud of her, and
all the brains in the family,
and the looks,
She got the brains and the looks. Yes, she did.
I have a face.
What the hell did
podcast.
You get, Dave?
I really don't know.
You got your dad's hair.
God didn't spend a lot of time on me. Like,
he got the gift of gab.
There you go.
Thank you, Terry. That's why I keep him around. He lifts me up. I've had some tough days, and I'll call him and say, look, that's just the way it is. You're going to have to.
It is what it is. And I'll tell you, it ain't what it ain't.
We have fun. Hey, Bubba, I know we've got a lot of great folks. You can listen to all the practice reports on SoundCloud, right, Bubba?
Yeah, we have practice reports from Friday and then also Saturday morning. And then I believe you'll be out there tomorrow again as well, right?
I am. I need some help for next Saturday if somebody can pinch in for me, but that's a whole nother. We'll talk about that off the air, but for next week. There's practices going on. This will be practice number 3 for Monday. Will be tomorrow, and that'll be out of 15. So we'll have 15 practices. We'll try to get this every one if we can. And certainly I know Pirate Nation is very excited about this new era, and Mike Houston is tremendous. The players are really responding to him. I'm happy with the way that these kids, I'm telling you guys, Terry, you know this too as a former player, these guys won't, I mean, who in the hell wants to play football and practice and play games and beat the hell out of each other and lose all the time? Who wants to lose, period, but especially football?
Players want to be coached, and players want to be coached.
Discipline, right?
They want discipline. They want
structure.
They want to win. All players want to win. That's all we want to do. And the coaches in the right direction and give us the vision that it takes to get where we want to go.
And can I say this too? And I know my good friend
we got
Paul.
Good
friend Paul. I'm sorry, Terry. I was just going to say, I know Dr. Paul Cheddar that listens to the podcast. He said not for me not to say it, but I'll say it anyway because I don't listen to. I should probably take his advice, but there's a chance, I just will say this ahead of time, there's a chance that in the month of, it's August and the September games, that we could have more wins in that period of time than Montgomery ever had in either of his the three seasons. So,
there's definitely a chance. I mean, at least
tie it 3-2. I think is what it's
going to be. I mean, the chances from 5. I mean, probably won't happen, but we could realistically go 4-1. I really good chance to win 3. To tie his win records for each year.
Put it this way: at least we're not going in the year with our goal to be 6 wins.
I'd be thrilled with 6 wins, honestly.
But our goal is to win every damn
12,
game. Step out there,
12, right? Or 13, right. Or 14? Because actually, be 14 because you want the 12 regular season conference championship game and the. And the New Year's Bowl game.
That's
realistically what we have. I think Mike Houston, before he leaves, he'll get us to those kind of heights. I really, really do. Playing a conference championship, I really see that happening.
Well, I'm
not saying this year. I'm saying before he – yeah, we'll take one step at a time, right?
I want to beat State. Right
oh,
now.
My God.
State's on the clock.
Yes, they are. And Mike Houston's smart because, like Kyle said, it's the perfect storm to have that stupid game we added at the end of the year. And you have the great coach, whatever his name is, in Raleigh. And, you know, to call a timeout before, you know, to ice the kicker, you're up 58-0. And then to break our fingers off. Well, every day Houston is, I'm telling you, behind the scenes, you know he's reminding 58-3. I'd have 58-3 on every locker and to remind them about they. And I know that for a fact. The kids are very hurt about that.
You think
they have a lot of pride?
You think they're running a lap every day to remind them?
Hell, if that's the case, it's probably 20 laps.
That's
58-3.
Yes.
Yeah.
For our listeners that don't understand that reference, Terry, quickly tell them where that stems from.
That's because Coach Dye, after we got beat by State, he had everybody, coaches and all, run a lap. Well, and we had, you know, both kids.
It was App State, right?
Yes. It was a big, App State. And we had the two practice fields together. You had to run around both of them every day for practice. And next year we got beat again. So
he said, that's a duck. And he said on our podcast, that's the dumbest thing I ever did. I started laughing a little bit.
Yeah, right. But look here, I love playing Appalachian State myself. So
my game's coming back on the schedule here pretty soon. So
I enjoyed going to Boone.
I love all the in-state. I'll say this. I love all the in-state games, and I'm happy about the Appalachian. Appalachian State has a lot of great fans. They have
Their
football. Yeah, they have. It's not like it's in other words, it's not just filling up the. Oh God, we got to find somebody scrambling. We got to find somebody. And I'll tell you another thing. The one thing I'm interested to see, Kyle, and then we'll go, is I know one concern the folks at Southern Miss. Let's see how John Gilbert does with. We'll schedule some North Carolina. We need UNC back on the schedule. You know, why not? I don't think they'll play us, but Duke's not back on the schedule. But Wake Forest is back on the schedule. We've got NC State. We've got Appalachian State. There's a lot of great
– You know, I looked at Southern Miss's schedule. I did that more in depth. And while there is some open dates that do concern me, Well, there's a couple years where there's only one game scheduled, like 2025, 2026. But that one game is Tulane or Mississippi State. So he did do a good job giving them regional opponents. Just some open dates there that's a little concerning that hopefully that won't be the case here. So far, so good with John Gilbert. He's done a good job.
With App State, just one thing comes to my mind, and it's the number 284.
It's what?
218.
What is that?
That's how many yards I had in one game.
Ah, gotcha.
Well, I know that.
Yeah. What if they had ever thrown me 10 in one game? Jeez.
Yeah, they beat
running the triple option, you didn't see that very often.
No, we threw 4.5 yard passes backwards.
Well, I tell you what, I'm excited about. I told Kyle this on Friday as well. I'm looking this year. I'm actually, and I normally am dreading it like a root canal, but I'm looking forward to that Navy game on September 14th. I really think with Coach Houston, I think the defense will be able to. They'll be well coached, and they probably are even coached even probably all throughout the year on how to play that triple option.
Well, one thing in the FCS, you see the triple option a lot. So that defensive staff is used to seeing it, and Coach Houston ran the triple, or Coach Houston's schools ran the triple option at Lenoir Ryan and the Citadel. So you've seen it a lot.
First off, you got to learn how to not let people get into your legs.
Yeah.
And you got to play off the block. Plus, you got to be disciplined and take care of your assignment. It's assignment football.
Yep.
And defensively, you got to be disciplined.
Like you said, Terry, I recall the last time we played up there in Annapolis. I remember some of our defensive backs trying to get off those blocks when those Navy slot backs were getting out there on their legs, and it was pretty comical.
No, we've looked like they had in the first reader out there trying to play against. I think we'll be much better.
All right. Well, we got plenty of time between now and then to get better, and certainly we're going to keep our eyes out on spring practice. We'll have obviously with baseball. I want to say also we'll keep our if we hear anything about basketball with recruiting, Coach Joe Dooley. I appreciate
hopefully
him.
Hopefully, we'll have the official word on Staten tomorrow.
We'll see about that too, and we'll definitely. At least with social media, we'll have that, and of course, our next podcast. But before we go, how can people find out about the Sports Objective, guys, with our social media?
They can search the Sports Objective on Facebook by going to your little search bar on Facebook and typing in the Sports Objective. Go to our page and hit that little like button, and you'll get all kinds of great stuff from the Sports Objective team. They can follow us on Twitter at @TheSportsOBJ on Twitter, and we got a MySpace and we got an Instagram and. Feel free to email us. What's that email address, guys?
It's thesportsobj@gmail.com.
All right.
So, thesportsobj. And we even have kylefromlagrange@gmail.com for all the Kyle fans. Or if you love him, hate him, email him. That's what I say.
Yes. And, you give me that password, Dave.
I will. I'll text it to you. Off the air. All right. Well, special guest Terry Gallagher, Bunkman. We appreciate you. I'm very excited about seeing you and a whole bunch of players on April 13th, and we'll talk about probably the next few days. We'll actually release our information on the spring game and what we're going to be doing, and we're also looking forward to reuniting with you and many of our friends from 1978 team and all the other different eras. I'm sure we'll have them at a location. You probably already know what it is, but we're going to finalize it this week, and we'll let everybody know a time and all that as well. So in the meantime, thank you, Terry. Thank you, Bubba. Thank you so much, Kyle from LaGrange. This is Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.